Well, hello there, everybody out there in Music Video Land. Welcome to the Music Video Land podcast. No, we call this the IMBDB podcast. You see why I don't do this. Put on by your super good friends at the Internet Music Video Database, IMBDB. I am your host for this episode, episode 202 of the IMBDB podcast. My name is Douglas Klinger. And with us, as always, is Mr. Adam Fairholm, who normally starts talking. How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing good, Doug. How are you?
I'm super great. And you see, when I host the show, I'm doing super great instead of super good. And then with us, as usual, also is the man with the plan, which is what we call him, Mr. Adam Alexander up in Canada. What's popping, Adam?
I'm happy to be here again.
I'd like to see this so-called plan.
Well, I've
got plans.
It was drawn with crayons, but it's still a plan nonetheless. All right. And then we have a special guest on this episode of the podcast. He's going to join us for a little bit here at the beginning, and then he's got a super cool LA screening to go to. But for the beginning of the podcast, we are joined by Norton. Norton, thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
No problem, man. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
Sweet. And Norton this week released, I don't think you directed it this week. I think you directed it weeks ago. But this week you released
months ago. Yeah.
But this week you released a music video for $25 by Danny Brown featuring Purity Ring. I know I'm a huge fan of this video. I'm going to go ahead and speak for the other Adams, say they're big fans of this video too. And so we're super stoked to have you on here to talk about
this video. Thank you. The way you said it, it sounded like he released a video for $25, so you have to go buy it for 20. I wish it were so, because I'd get some money.
Well, you know what also is odd? I was just looking at our charts, and $25 is sitting at number 25. That's never happened before.
Oh, really?
That's freaky. Yeah. That's funny. It's unfortunate because it was an MTV. It was a day. It was only on MTV, so we didn't count those views. Otherwise, it'd be much higher. Because people love Danny Brown and Norton.
I'm going out on a limb here a little bit, but I think the video sort of follows the narrative of the song itself. As Danny Brown kind of travels through this cool looking older house, you kind of get bits and pieces of the narrative, which is about Danny Brown's his growing up and sort of some themes of financial burden and stuff that they might have went through through his childhood. So that's kind of what I thought the video was all about. We've got Norton here. Maybe he can break it down in a little bit more detail, what's going on in this video.
I think it's a great idea.
It has nothing to do with what you said. It's about this whole other thing. I don't know where you get that from the video, but no, obviously kidding. Yeah, that's exactly it. you pretty much nailed it. It's the way we sold the video was pretty much Danny Brown's kind of ghost of Danny Brown's past, you know, like him revisiting his childhood. Because I did a bunch of research on Danny, and he's like, to me, he's probably one of the most interesting rappers at the moment, because he's very honest and in a way kind of, he is vulnerable, which is cool, because it's almost like you're not supposed to be vulnerable, you know, when you're a rapper, but he is all that. So I try to find things that I remember he was upset because he couldn't go to Canada because he got arrested once or something, so they wouldn't give him a visa. And I remember him saying in an interview that he was haunted by this past, so that's one of the things we included in sort of that limbo area where Danny's surrounded by guns and crack pipes and bills and stuff. That was all censored in the MTV versions, but in the YouTube version you can see all that. So the idea behind that was just to show Danny, you know, he's still haunted by that past, and he tries to cope with it in his own way. And but yeah, everything else, I mean, you nailed it. That's it.
And it's funny you mentioned going to Canada, because this track features Purity Ring, and Megan James of Purity Ring is in the video. And since it's so centered around Danny Brown, you know, his story, how did you work her into the narrative?
Well, I really wanted her to just sort of be a ghost. Like, she would be the one that would take Danny, you know, kind of the ghost of Christmas past, kind of take Danny into this world. And she would just sort of let him appreciate and walk around. But she's kind of like, she's responsible. She kind of took him into that world, I think. So she was the ghost. That's why she's wearing white in the video.
Now, how did it come about that she would be in the video? Because I know that for Purity Ring videos, usually they're not featured in it.
Yeah, she's in the A.G. Rojas video, actually, for a brief second. She's holding the umbrella in the limo sex scene, I guess. Either that or someone is getting killed in that. But
it's the best kind of sex scene, the limo sex scene.
Yeah. So she's actually kind of nervous. She told me, like, oh, it's the first time I'm going to be, like, in camera, like, singing towards the camera and stuff. And I was like, okay, great.
And
No, but she was great. She was actually great in just with a few little notes and suggestions. She really nailed the character and kind of got into that creepy world, which is great.
And I've seen you describe the video as a non-rap video. And I wonder, do you think her presence in the video is part of what makes it a non-rap video, or are there a lot more elements in there that make it a non-rap video?
Well, I guess I was just mentioning it's not the traditional rap video. Because the other day I got a brief, and it was like, needs to be like a big rap video. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm your guy, sorry. But yeah, I think she is definitely like a non-rap video. Even she's a non-rap element in this song, which is why Danny Brown is so cool. But yeah, she's definitely a big part of that.
And I know the most important question on everybody's mind is that in the beginning of the video, there's the Captain Crunch box, but I cannot tell what kind of Captain Crunch it is, whether it is the regular or Crunch Berries. And I thought, you know,
peanut butter crunch.
Oh, peanut butter crunch is not my favorite. But do you remember that?
What? I actually have no idea because I didn't even know. I didn't grow up in America, so I didn't know that there was all those varieties. Also, I guess I don't look at those boxes at the supermarket. But it's a good question to sort of, I'm going to try and bring into a different, I don't know the answer, so I'm going to answer with something else. That we did a ton of research on Danny, so I really wanted to have a bunch of little Easter eggs in the video for the true Danny Brown fans, which I'll probably tweet in a couple of days. So having the Captain Crunch in there was a part of it. Also on the table, there's a Wonder Bread. Yeah, am I saying it right?
Yeah, Wonder Bread, and that's a Danny Brown song, right?
Yeah, exactly. Wonder Bread was in there, and then there's like pictures of Danny and his family all around the house, and there's like an LL Cool J album, which was the first rap album that Danny ever had. There's a Dr. Seuss book, which was Danny's favorite book growing up as a kid. Well, there's just a bunch of little Easter eggs, which are really cool if you pay attention to the video, you really notice them, and it's probably like a nice thing for the true fans.
Where were you researching these kind of things? These are kind of deep cut facts.
Yeah.
One of the great places was because we got a ton of the pictures were taken from the management sent us pictures of Danny's childhood, but they were used for this really awesome article on Complex magazine, and the interview itself is awesome because it's all kind of really cool. It's you sort of scroll down and stuff comes up, and there's like Danny flying, and there's like all these really cool things. And in that article, that interview, it had a lot of information about Danny. So I researched that, and then I listened to his other albums. Because to be honest, Danny was pretty new to me as an artist. I had heard Dip, and then I knew him from that video with a kid growing up.
Yeah, actually, that reminds me. I think there's a line in that song where he says something about, remember, all for dinner we ate was Cap'n Crunch. So
yeah,
you can
okay.
get
so,
some
yeah.
of those reference points from his songs, too.
Yeah. So that was kind of where I did my research.
It's crazy that Adam's dumb Cap'n Crunch question actually got us this. Right, exactly. Real quick, just like a technical question just about like how, you know, obviously there are some visual effects at play here with the things floating in the air, but I'm curious as far as how you achieve the people freezing. Is that just people standing still?
Absolutely. But there's a little trick in there, though. If you shoot people standing still straight on, they're going to eventually move, and you can tell. Like, if the camera's not moving, you're going to be able to tell. But if you keep the camera constantly moving, your eye is tricked into thinking that they're perfectly still. So we did a little test before, and it worked great. We didn't even have to shoot in slow-mo, which is great, because I think it would have been tough for Danny to, or maybe not, but he was great, actually. He was a pro. But maybe sync, like, rapping twice as fast might have been, like, super hard and counterproductive. So if you keep the camera moving, then, you know, any sort of notion of people moving a little bit gets lost, because the image is constantly changing. So we did that, and then we did a combination of practical effects and some CG work. So in the first scene, we have plates hanging. Actually, that is all practical, but let me think of another one that's common. Oh, like the bills one at the end was a combination of, there's some bills actually in there, others are CG. And yeah, that's kind of how we did it.
Is that a trick, the keeping the camera moving trick? Is that something that you knew? Is that come from Sing? Where'd that idea, that trick come from?
It came from me, really. Just from, I watched a couple of these commercials or videos that use this trick. And then I had that idea, if we keep the camera constantly moving, we'll probably be able to not see as much motion. And then when we tested it out, that was so.
I believe that you have to go now. So
yeah,
thank absolutely. You so much, Norton, for joining us. We appreciate you
no
taking
problem,
the time
guys.
For us, and enjoy your screening.
Thanks, man. See you guys.
See you.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks, Norton. Bye. Have fun.
Thank you. Bye.
Maybe you guys will never know if I actually had an ulterior motive for asking this Captain Crunch question.
Like something you had a follow up that never got you.
Yeah.
Never got to.
I'm glad that they put Megan James from Purity Ring in a video, because I saw them. I am embarrassed to admit this, but I saw them perform on Carson Daly or whatever. It's, well, you know, that show is so stupid, because he's always in some dumb, you know, some weirdo bar in L.A. Or he's always at a different bar for some reason.
Or restaurant. We're
yeah,
at a taco shop.
He's always in some different place that it comes on after the Seth Meyers show, which is awful. So
it still comes on? I didn't even know that show still aired.
It is still on. I have a funny feeling that it was, like, it's highly plausible that it was canceled, like, years ago, and he just continues to send the tapes.
Excuse me. They're like, all right, well, I guess we'll put this on.
So we should, but if you want to see a lot of great bands kind of play on that show, it's become kind of a place where I always pay attention to who the musical guest is, because they definitely have whoever's booking the music for that. They don't play on the show; they just, like, film a performance.
Yeah,
and then
that's his
that.
Roots. I mean, his roots are in that world, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If Carson Daly is, I mean, if any aspect of that show is going to be good, it's going to be, you know, the musical guest. That makes sense. And yeah, actually, you're right. I have seen a few really good in between, like, just weird things of him, like, interviewing people at diners, like, some really good.
they always both have big cups of water.
Right. and they like sometimes get food. And he's like, there's always, like, a question, like, so, like, we're here at Tony's Tacos Tavern, like, what is your favorite taco? And it's like, I don't eat tacos. It's like, oh, weird. Weird. We should have known that.
He's been doing the stuff in the bar for, like, a decade. They probably have run out of places to shoot that show. But anyway, speaking
of... It was traditional, though. He did have, like, a traditional talk show, and they changed it. And I remember when they changed the format, and I can't believe we're talking this long about Carson Daly. When they changed the format, like, I remember people would always, like, before the interview, before sitting down at the booth, they'd be like, dude, I love the new format, bro. It's awesome. You're fucking it up. And so... You're okay, Carson Daly. Daly segment is over.
You definitely fucked it up, all right.
Yeah.
So we should talk about, speaking of late night, Adam Alexander, I don't know if you saw this, but we should talk about the Stevie Nicks and Jimmy Fallon Stop Dragging My Heart Around, which is funny because I've listened to a lot of Fleetwood Mac and thinking a lot about Stevie Nicks and Lindsey
Buckingham. That's sweet. That's cute that you've been doing that. Yeah, this was super fun. I wrote a little blog post about it today, and Last night on Fallon, they recreated 1981 music video "Stop Dragging My Heart Around." Now, I personally am not ashamed to admit that I was not familiar with this music video prior to it, and actually, the reason I didn't watch Fallon live last night, it was like a trending topic on Facebook. Which, man, if Facebook needed to get more gossipy, it did with that trending topics feature. But that's where I found out about it. And, like, a bunch of people were talking about it. Like, oh, he remade this music video. And, like, I'm convinced that, like, there are, like, 15 people in the world who had that reference point beforehand. And, you know, it's just as easy as just, like, looking it up on the internet and seeing that other video. And I'm sure that, like, today that video got more views than it ever had in the... Because there's no like official embed; it's just someone who filmed it off VH1 and put it on the internet. Yeah. But
there's even the like the VCR things, the little like blank time signature in the bottom.
Yeah, on his right, recording. Exactly. Yeah.
But it looks like, I mean, for anybody who hasn't seen it, this video is a performance video in a studio, so it's not exactly like a really like distinctive concept video. But that you could tell the way they were doing it. It looks like they were parodying something. So I think people kind of got the thing like, oh, okay, like I get that. They're obviously referencing something, and this is what it is.
And also, Fallon is – and because Jimmy Fallon is fantastic at impersonations, and I think his Tom Petty is great. Like he gets his like vocal cadence and like vernacular just spot on in some of the like obviously it's an impression version of Tom Petty, but he gets those like classic Tom Petty weirdo sounds in his singing. And so
I have a feeling we'll see more of these music video recreations too because of the popularity of this one. And he does tend to redo kind of a little concept once he gets one that works. So we'll probably see more of these, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's great. And the fact that – so – and Adam, I think you've mentioned something to this extent before, maybe just on Twitter. I don't know about it on the podcast. But, obviously the best part about Jimmy Fallon is he's part of these, you know, these reoccurring things. That when they do, like, the history of hip-hop dancing, it's him and Will Smith doing the hip-hop dancing. And in this one, he's a big of part of it. As anybody in the sketch, and which is important, you didn't really see stuff like this from other late night hosts. I'm not talking about just from Jay Leno. Even like Conan, when he had like these ridiculous reoccurring characters and stuff, he wasn't as big of a part of it as Fallon is being. And so,
yeah,
it's always been kind of part of the fabric of the show, him doing that stuff. And Fallon has like albums. I was surprised that Fallon didn't have a page in the database actually. Because he like his comedy albums also featured songs,
right.
and there's like a clip of him that of performing on MTV and stuff might be on a Carson Daly show actually. So that was part of his roots. I mean, yeah, Conan like can play guitar or whatever, but it hasn't always been part of, you know what I mean, like this that sketch. It's of this is in the same vein as like a lot of the stuff from late night. Like Conan never played music on late night,
right? So should we talk a little bit about the commentary feature?
I think we should. I think we definitely should. Yeah, we're doing things a little out of order because we wanted to make sure to be able to talk to Norton. But let's talk about the new commentary feature. You've been working really hard on that.
Well, just like Carson Daly, we're blowing up the format.
We're fucking it up. Yeah. Well, I think you should tell us about it though, since you invented it.
That's right. In the blog post, I expressed my my love of commentary features, which I think I'm almost positive came with the advent of DVDs in the late 90s. So for the first time, this format, you know, allowed different audio tracks. So they decided, well, what are we going to put in the other audio tracks? You know, people talking, like directors and all sorts of people talking about the movie and like talking about it as it was going on.
A lot of it came out of the need of like wanting to add extra features to these DVDs and stuff. Like a lot of times they would do this just as dumb as stuff. Like sometimes a theatrical trailer would be in there and like stuff like that. And then the commentaries ended up being that. Additional stuff. Sometimes they would just like repackage DVDs with like more special features and like sell it for $10 more. And but like the commentaries they were something that I that was actually really interested. I never went back and watched the fucking theatrical trailer from like Caddyshack. Oh, how'd they promote Caddyshack? So, but like, yeah, like, but like listening to the commentaries was always something really interesting. And sometimes they do some, like, I remember Wes Anderson, I think it was, did one in a restaurant once. And I know on Swingers, Jon Favreau and Vince Vaughn, they had like John Madden pens. Where, like, you know, like on football games where they were like pause the screen and write on the screen and shit. They were doing that and they're like, this hat was my dad's, and just like circling the hat in the back of the screen. So anyway, they would do fun things with them, but they were always something that I was actually really interesting. You could get some really cool insight about the film as you were watching it.
Yeah, and I think that we've lost a little bit of that. Obviously, DVDs are still sold and everything like that, and you can buy them, and they do commentary tracks and stuff like that. But I know a lot of people down, you know, either through torrents or, you know, through, I know I rent movies through, you know, the iTunes movie store or whatever. If you get a digital copy, then you don't get any of those extra features and stuff. So, you know, because of the awkwardness of the timing between, you know, DVDs and the music video's popularity, we didn't get a lot of music video commentaries. Especially not from directors. I know definitely not from directors. We got a few from artists. Weezer's video capture device from like 2002 comes to mind.
And occasionally some would pop up on the internet, like little one-off ones. And I want to say, I don't ever remember seeing it, but somebody told me that they remember hearing director commentaries for music videos on those like director series DVDs.
Right.
And they made a bunch. I had three of them. I had the Spike Jones, the Chris Cunningham, and the Gondry one. Now, I don't remember those being on there, but I didn't go through all of those.
I don't remember that features. Either, Doug, to be honest. I don't remember there being commentaries. Yeah, there could have been, but...
I was wondering that, because I never owned any of those, although I looked at them in FYE stores, and I said, huh, that's cool. But yeah, so you guys both had them, and I don't remember anybody ever mentioning there being commentaries on those.
No.
And it's a shame, because I think that, you know, there's all these different mediums to, like, get inside stories on music videos. Like, there's behind-the-scenes featurettes. Most larger music videos come with a little behind-the-scenes featurettes, which are interesting and fun, but there's, you don't like learn too much from that. A lot of the times they're just like you know, shots from the shoot, and you see people setting up cameras and filming stuff, which is fun to look at, but there's a limit, you know, to the insight.
All you find out is like what Joseph Kahn looks like looking through a camera viewfinder.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and like what Beyonce looks like in a robe next to the set where she's wearing little clothes. Like, yeah, that's basically what you get.
They're like, oh, they used the camera for that, huh? Okay. But we also did like our video chats, which are text interviews, which are also, they invite a lot of insight. But I think the commentary like format is really great for music videos because they're short, first of all. And I just like the intimacy sounds like a weird word, but like, you know, the kind of closeness of watching something with somebody else and hearing them talk about it and having their memory jogged by stuff and saying like, oh, remember that, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because music videos are shot so quickly oftentimes and there's a lot of stories around them that are really fun. I think there's a whole like thing that we're missing from that. So for a long time, Doug and I have been like, oh, wouldn't it be great one day to do commentaries? And the way people have done commentaries, if anybody has done them, is they've recorded themselves, put it on their video, and then like uploaded that to Vimeo or YouTube. So you have an entirely different video that has the commentaries. And you know, obviously we can't do that. We don't have the copyrights to any of these videos, and that would be insanely cumbersome and kind of ridiculous. It just wasn't a way we could do it. But you know, along with the videos, so along with the rise of music videos in the last few years, we've gotten ahead in web technology in a lot of ways, including the technology behind audio and video for the web. So now, you know, the YouTube player comes with ways you can manipulate it, and audio has HTML5 audio controls that you can programmatically, you know, manipulate audio. So this has given us the ability to just have an audio file and sync that with the video, not a copy of the video that we re-uploaded, but the original version of the video that's on YouTube. So it keeps us free and clear from copyright crap, and it keeps it really light and allows us to do a lot of them really quickly. So I'm really excited about this. Now you can go to the site and you can see which videos have commentaries on them. Though when Doug was at South by Southwest, he recorded a bunch, which we're still putting up. But the idea is they're really easy to make. All you need to do is, you know, record yourself talking about the video and send it to us. So we're taking submissions. I've been contacted by a few directors who are interested in doing this. And
Norton was one of them,
and a few others. And we want people to, including artists and stuff, we want people to, you know, add these commentaries and build a database of these.
It's a great feature for sure. I actually, interestingly enough, I find that it works better for the music video format than a feature length film. I always like the audio commentaries, but there's no way I was ever going to sit and listen to a commentary for like a 3-hour Lord of the Rings movie. That just was not ever going to happen. So I kind of like this, like a 3 minutes, you get like some insight and stuff. I think it's perfect for music videos.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great point, because even not only just like a 3-hour Lord of the Rings movie, even if it's just like an hour and a half long, like that's crazy to just like listen to Vince Vaughn for an hour and a half talk about Swingers. Like that's a little bit much. Like, yeah, it's fun for a portion of it. But yeah, after a while, you're like, I kind of want to watch this movie now. And but the music videos, because it's so quick. And how quickly you can blow through it. Right. In 10 minutes, you can watch the video itself and then the video with the commentary too and learn a lot about it. And it's also an opportunity for, because with the video chats interviews, I mean, we would ask questions that we could kind of think of from watching the video, but like there's no way we could know about like little anecdotes and stories and technical stuff that we would think to ask for. And all of this stuff becomes really easily unearthed in these commentaries, because, you know, the directors or the DPs will just look at these shots and be like, you know, and start talking about how they made them or what went wrong or what, you know, how difficult this was to pull off and that kind of thing, and stuff that we wouldn't have even known to ask about had we done it in a more traditional interview style.
And there are all sorts of little video moments, and the commentaries that we have up, we'll link to them, are really good. It's just like funny little things, like in the Cool Like Me by Fryer's commentary by the director Ian Cooper. There's a moment at the end where there's a shot of a little black kid doing the Black Panther sign, and they're both laughing as you say, we didn't tell him to do that, but he did, and it was awesome. And you
right
know,
or
yeah.
I was just gonna say, or like in the, I think it's the Brina Fall Back video. She was like, "Yeah, we shot here because we had a different location picked out, but someone had been stabbed there the night before," and just like crazy little, like, there's no way I would have, like, going into an interview. It's like, so did anyone get stabbed at any of the locations that you shot that at? Like, there's no way I could have possibly known to try to ask that. And
the Ghost one by the Presets by Abtin Bagheri and Isaac Bauman. They're talking about how, like, the place they were shooting, like, people were telling them it was haunted, and it was two people doing the commentary too, because like, so they could kind of feed off each other, and it's amazing how many like interesting things people can pack into like a 3-minute video to talk about. So, you know, I think this is like the, you know, we've been looking for like a signature feature, but something that you can't get anywhere else. And first of all, for a lot of the credits, you can't get them anywhere else for except on IMVDB. And a lot of the data you can't get anywhere else, but definitely, you can only get these commentaries and this, you know, this structure that we've built around them on IMVDB, and I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I think directors will really appreciate the format as well, because I would assume, I don't know for sure, but it seems to me that like when they're interviewed on something, they get asked a series of questions which probably get quite repetitious, and they have to answer these questions over and over. But with this format, they're kind of like directing what they want to talk about with the video. So to me, that would kind of be like a freeing format for them. It gives them the ability to kind of, you know, talk about what they want to talk about.
And it also allows them to let their personalities come through a little bit too, more so than a written interview was. That was what, you know, having people on the podcast like we just had Norton on, you know, it was a little bit more interesting, and he got to fuck with you and pretend like you weren't spot on with your reading of the thing. That stuff doesn't come out in written interviews, but that you definitely get a lot of personality with that. And a lot of these directors and artists and anybody, you know, they're really interesting, smart, you know, articulate, fun to listen to people, and that stuff is you know, definitely comes through and for different reasons for each of them too. Some are really funny, some tell really good stories, some get really technical about stuff, you know, you don't, we're not guiding them in what they're talking about, and I think that that's good because we're idiots.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
for sure. For sure.
So you will see the list of ones grow. Like I mentioned, when Doug was at South by Southwest, got some awesome ones, including the music video that won the grand prize there at South by Southwest. Back to Me by Joel Compass, and we got some really fun commentary by Enon Cooper. But you will see many, many more of these commentaries coming up very soon. And actually, two of my favorites are the only artist commentary we have so far is Sabrina, and she's so funny for both of these, Dat Good and Fall Back, which are, you know, the one's directed by Suj and one's by Mike Ho. And they're like kind of performance-based hip-hop videos. But she has an interesting personality and like way of talking, and the commentaries are hilarious.
Yeah, really funny stuff. I really enjoy it, and I'm excited to do more of these. This is really really a feature that I'm looking forward to.
And it was a pain in the butt to get set up,
but here it is, and we got it now. And so now
we went through. Yeah, I will not bore anybody with the technical details, but we had several proofs of concepts that we kept running into walls with. Especially the keeping everything in sync was the main challenge. But I think now you can scrub to any place on the timeline there, and it will stay in sync, and everything will go right. And also, if you were allowing people to go a few seconds over, so if the music video ends, they can keep on talking.
Will you have the ability to add multiple commentary tracks to a video? Like, say you have an artist one and then a director one. Is that an option?
Yeah, so you can have as many commentary tracks as you want.
Cool.
And you can select a, you know, so they'll just list below there. We actually, a director commentary, contacted me, who is a native Spanish speaker, and the videos he does are for Spanish artists. And so he's going to do commentary tracks in English and in Spanish.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, cool. So I thought that was cool. So I'm going to have to add the functionality to designate what language it is as well. But yeah, everything is very flexible. So I would love to have like a, and you know, in the post I wrote, you know, about who we want commentaries from. I would love to see a commentary from a costume designer, you know, as well as a director
We do have a few. Some of the ones that we have that Saman did also include costume designer, and I just can't remember her name right now.
Is it for the My Intentions Are a Base?
No, she's on the two Placebo videos.
For both of those?
Yeah, Michelle Thompson. She did some commentaries with Saman for both of the Placebo videos, as well as his Calvin Harris video and the Vitalik video. So yeah, we do. We've got some already, but we want some more.
So let's talk about some vids.
Let's talk about more vids. We talked about $25. Let's talk about some of these popular ones. Let's talk about Magic by Coldplay, directed by Jonas Åkerlund, who was an IMDb pick, as well as the most popular video of the week, sitting at about 4 million views, close to 4 million views at this point. So you guys want to talk about this? Let's do it. Adam Alexander didn't want to have to watch it, but we forced his hand by by staff picking it and by it being so popular. So I'm going to let Adam Alexander describe this video for us.
And as expected, Ackerland makes great music videos, so I knew the video would be good. My issues don't lie with his work, really, and I don't hate Coldplay, but they're not my favorite. Regardless of that, yeah, the video is kind of a cool nod to the old silent film format. Kind of a little bit of a narrative. Actually, it definitely is a narrative, and it tells the story of a magician and his female assistant who they kind of have a little bit of a romantic spark going, but the issue is that she kind of has a I'm not sure what you want to call that guy. There's a jerk that kind of I guess her boss or maybe he owns her.
I think it's her husband.
Okay,
I think that's a good point. And I actually think that she's the main magician, and that the other guy is her assistant.
You are right. That makes sense. Right. And her husband, if he's her husband, he's definitely a jerk and a big one. So he's not really. He doesn't have any issues with roughing her up a little bit and basically just treating her like crap. So what ends up happening is maybe this is where I got confused. What's the Coldplay guy's name?
Chris Martin. Frontman?
Chris Martin. He kind of, I guess he learns some magic, which he, in the end, he uses to kind of get rid of the husband, and it has like a little happily ever after type of an ending to it. So, yeah.
I think you did a fantastic job. One thing you missed, and I think it was because of the fake mustache that you missed it, it's actually Chris Martin playing both parts.
I did notice that. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
You're right.
Okay. Yeah, so Chris Martin is the magician's assistant as well as the husband. I think it's a husband. We got a press release about this video that calls him the husband, so I'm going to stick with that. It's some inside info. And also, it's important to note, and maybe you just didn't say her name because you didn't know how, and because I certainly don't. But the magician is played by Zhang Ziyi. Zhang Ziyi, what do you guys think?
That works, yeah.
Sounds
Zhang Ziyi, who is the star of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and also the star of this video. And so she's in this video, and it's a big time video. You guys remember the last Coldplay video, the midnight one?
You guys both hate that video.
Well, not so much.
I don't hate it. It was just it was lackluster. It was mediocre at best.
I mean, they're not doing a lot. I mean, this is essentially, in terms of like size of production and pre-thought, I would say that the two videos couldn't be further apart. And I could be wrong. Maybe they did a lot of pre-thinking for this midnight video and picked like the perfect woods in the world for them to be walking in. But like, you know, that video is just them kind of walking in the woods. And this is like a movie.
They went full Stanley Kubrick and spent 2 years looking for woods. I should also point out that this video reminded me of a video that I doubt that you guys have seen. Is All I Want Is You by U2, directed by Mirat Avis.
Yeah, I know the one you mean.
You know the one with the...
Yeah, there is a similarity to that. They're like a traveling sideshow circus, correct?
Right.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it does have that vibe to it.
It's also, it just reminded me because it's also black and white, and it also and it takes place at a circus, and that video is kind of infamous. I'm not really sure why. It's just it's not on their official one, and it's kind of talked about in hushed tones whenever I hear people mention it. But I guess the proper term is little person. Falls in love with a trapeze artist, and it's black and white, and it's in a circus, and it just reminded me for some reason.
I think it's a great classic video. I really liked that YouTube video.
It is. It's one of the
sticks with me.
It's one of their rare narrative videos as well.
Yeah,
directed by Mirat Avis, who I believe is a user of the site, which is cool.
Or his producer certainly is. Who they own the production company together, and I can't remember his name, but he's got one,
and he directed a lot of the late '80s YouTube videos, like "Where the Streets Have No Name," "With or Without You," which happens to be the first video ever added to the site. And
he's an active director. He continues to direct music videos.
He is. Yeah, New Year's Day in 1982. So he goes back, way, way back. Jeremy Alter is the name of his partner.
Yes, Jeremy Alter. Yes, yeah, and he is a frequent user of the site, which we appreciate very much.
Yeah, he's as recent as 2011, directed a music video for Evanescence. Anyway, getting off on a tangent, but I thought that was one of those things where it's like, territory you stray into, like, oh, we're going into All I Want Is You territory here,
and it's
more lighthearted.
Yes, definitely more lighthearted. I mean, Adam talks about it. He says he uses magic. What he does is he works on levitation, and he literally just levitates the guy into the sky and doesn't stop. Just sends him on up into space and murders him. So
it's a space murder.
It is a space murder. I mean, you can't breathe up there, and he doesn't come down at any point. And so,
what would be awesome if Coldplay released this? Would they win you over, Adam, if Coldplay's next single was called "Space Murder"?
Well, I might be on board for that.
Space murder.
Based on title alone,
and it sounded like 1967, like Pink Floyd or whatever.
Yeah. Right. Perfect. God. Space. Yeah, I wish. Stupidest idea, but I think you should be Coldplay's manager. I think they'd be
who
be
is managing Coldplay. I was listening to this. I've been on like a going on a kick of music that I haven't listened to in a long time while I run, and I was listening to a lot of Coldplay, and they've got a pretty solid catalog. I used to be super into them in high school.
I would say that Adam Alexander does not agree with you, but that's fine.
We had different high school musical tastes, I think.
That's true.
Adam, yes, we did. I'm sure.
Adam was big into 1967 Pink Floyd, interestingly enough. Shall we move on to Summer by Calvin Harris, directed by Emil Nava?
We shall. Emil Nava is one of those big name directors. He's a big star. Directed.
He's a big star.
Just look at his page. He's got a whole lot of stuff on there, famous stuff. And this one is interesting because it's a sexy video, but it's one of those ones, I'm not sure why some people kind of pick up a narrative of racing and then just don't finish it. It's interesting, too.
It's that we've got the Calvin Harris video that Simon Kesh directed for Will Be Coming Back is also a car race themed. And that's interesting. That's all. It took me a long time to get those words out, but I got them.
This also shares some similarities with what's that one? The Shakira "Remember to Forget You," "Can't Remember to Forget You," directed by Joseph Kahn, where there's just a lot of shots of these sexy ladies hanging out in a mansion, and the mansion looks really similar. It may even be the same one, but there's a lot. I mean, I would say this is like 40% butts. This video, but it's doing it really subtly, like when the girls are like pushing a car, and it's like it's. Obviously, you know that the main focus of the frame is their butts. But
I didn't watch enough of this video because I don't remember that.
At least at the beginning, before the racing starts, there's definitely quite a few obvious butt shots.
Right,
they're in there.
Adam, did you watch this video all the way through?
No, maybe not all the way through.
So nobody can answer my burning narrative questions about this video of things I don't understand, such as. There are two simultaneous drag races. It's going to be taking place one after another, like within like maybe 30, 40 seconds of each other. First, the dudes start off, and then two girls get in like dune buggies and race after them. But then nothing ever happens to that. Then it's interspersed with like Calvin Harris hanging out at a pool. So I'm just not exactly sure what is. And then there's a party at the end. So maybe I'm asking the wrong questions.
I don't know. It's like you're holding a sneeze, though, when that happens. You know, yeah. Like when you get the beginning of a race and not the end.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of didn't have a hard time focusing on the cars a little or anything to do with the racing in this video, to be honest.
Because of the butts.
Yeah. It's difficult. There are cars. I did notice the cars.
I'm also convinced, this video has gotten me convinced, that if you're in L.A., and you want to have your artist like walking down like a street in like the desert that there's only one to choose from. I'm pretty sure this is like they all look exactly the same, and but I think it's just I think there is just one. And so I want to point that out too. Next time you see somebody walking down the an empty road in the desert in a music video, it's this same one that they're using here in this summer video. So cool for that. I don't know that as a fact. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a good guess. I think
they all look exactly the same. Remember that Angel Haze video that Frank Boren put out not too long ago? I think it's the same road. That's all I'm saying.
Or what about the Iggy Azalea work video?
Yeah, same. I'm thinking
same
I'm
road.
Thinking, I'm gonna, same fucking road.
You might be right. You might be right.
What was that? What was that? What was that one called? That Frank Boren, one that he did for Angel Haze.
That's the last video. Battle Cry.
This is definitely the same. This is definitely the same desert that she's walking down.
In the Battle
maybe,
Cry.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm looking at these cactuses look exactly the same to me, man. I mean, I know it's LA cactuses or whatever the fuck, but no, this is the same place, man. They ain't fooling me.
And yeah, this video, I mean, I love Emil Nava and his work. This video just doesn't make really a whole lot of sense at all.
It's
done really well. But I think on the strength that Calvin Harris is a really amazingly popular act right now. But we should talk about a few other ones that we really liked, and I think we definitely want to talk about Smooth Sailing by Queens of the Stone Age, directed by Hiro Murai.
Yes, I would. I would very much. This is definitely my favorite video of the week. How about you guys?
I would definitely put it up there. And Doug, when you wrote this article, you were. I hadn't seen the video, and you're asking me if these people are Asian, and saying that Consequences of Sound called them Japanese. And I think they're. It's pretty sure they're Japanese. I think.
Yeah, I believe so too. I mean, I wasn't sure. They're obviously not. They're obviously non-whites, I guess was a safe right. guess. Well, but they all do appear. I mean, at least two of them are definitely Asian, and the other two appear to be Asian too. I don't know. I don't know for sure, but they appear to be. I think they are.
That's neither. Yeah.
Kind of a minor detail.
It's a minor detail, but actually, we have the cast list. We got the cast list, and if you look at these names, clearly these are Asian names. I don't know any Takumi.
But specifically Japanese. I think that's the question.
Yeah, they appear to be.
They're drinking sake and they're at karaoke bars and stuff, which is.
Josh Holm, who of Queens of the Stone Age, obviously not Japanese.
No, but it's funny that he's in this. So that these guys are partying, and then they kind of get into a wild night. And the thing that's interesting about this video is that the violence is not. It could have been very like cartoonish and over the top, but it stays like in a very real place, which makes it kind of disturbing. I mean, these guys are fucked up. They've done some drugs and drank some beers. And they maybe
and some sakis.
Yeah, they maybe they did two marijuanas, and they the one guy's out in the alleyway and sees another guy taking a smoke break and hallucinates him to be some sort of demon, and kills him. But it's interesting because they go through this whole night, and the snorri cam effect really kind of drills it into you that these people are kind of out of their minds right now.
Yeah.
And then it ends with them standing in the desert with the sun coming up, and one of the guys is burying the guy that they killed. It's definitely not. I was kind of anticipating a lot of cartoonish, kind of over the top, crazy violence, and it was very real.
Yeah, it's still a lot of fun to watch because of some of the performances. Like, and I like enjoyed myself watching it, but it's kind of like it reminded me a little bit of what's that movie, Very Bad Things, I think,
yeah,
with Christian Slater a little bit, but grounded in reality. Sure. More.
You've seen this video, Adam? I have not.
The movie, yeah,
the movie.
Yeah. It's got Jon Favreau. Second Jon Favreau reference on this episode. Jon Favreau and Christian Slater, and I think Michael Rappaport. And it's like about a bunch of guys who have a bachelor party and then accidentally kill their stripper slash hooker, and then like go through the video trying to or go through, and it's like just a really dark comedy. They go through the movie trying to figure out what to do, and like one by one, these guys start dying as well, like getting like accidentally killing each other. And so, but that the violence in that film is a little bit more cartoonish. This it is very like it's kind of real, but also like. They like beat a guy to probably death, and then like the guy like brings his keys out and like clicks his clicker to find out where his car is, and it's like right behind him. Mm-hmm. Like just like little moments like that that have that humorous punch to them. You know, not to mention like they've got like ties on their head and they're singing karaoke and stuff. There's a lot of fun elements too. It's almost like
It's almost like Tarantino directed The Hangover. You might get something like this.
Ooh.
That's a good one, but I still think that Tarantino's violence is a little cartoonish sometimes.
It can be, can be very real too. It depends on the movie, right?
You're right. Yeah, so this is like a little Reservoir Dogs ish hangover with some Hangover elements of it for sure. I mean, and you know, we're having trouble labeling it with just like calling it like a movie because it's a pretty like it's its own thing, obviously, and that's what makes it awesome. It's not just like, oh, look, they made The Hangover. Like, no. This is, you know, obviously something different, and I think this is another type of thing that really works perfect for a music video. But like, if they tried to keep the energy of this video up, and like the violence for like a full film, that would be tough. Now, the one thing I would like to see is a full film. There's like 30 seconds. The first 30 seconds or so of this music video, the music hasn't started yet. And it's just like awkward background music and the sounds of them drinking sake and stuff. And that's what I'd make that a full movie.
Oh, yeah.
So
Josh has probably taken these guys. Like, I feel like this is like he's trying to close some kind of a business arrangement or a business deal, and he's taking these guys out on the town to show them a good time. Is that kind of the feel you guys got for the
maybe? Yeah, definitely. Or either that, or like coworkers just like celebrating or ending a week or something like that. You know, going out after work. Something along those lines. Something along those lines. Some kind of like, you know, after work. Happy hour gone fucking nuts. And one thing I do want to mention, I think this mall / karaoke bar / bowling alley is a place where a lot of music video directors frequent in LA and like hang out a lot, because this is the same mall that the Daniels Battles video was shot at, the video where that's just a guy like on the escalator falling down, and they're on that escalator in this video. So, cool little tidbit factoid that I have for you guys.
Cool.
Adam, so look at all the credits of this video, and that's too. We have them all. So look at them.
Adam, what would you spotlight this week in terms of what you were enjoying?
Wow, it's been it's an insane week for music videos. It's going to be rough to piece together a top five this week. It's pretty overwhelming.
In a good way, like there's too much.
Lots of really good stuff. Not high caliber artists, so to speak, but lots of smaller bands did some really cool videos this week. Probably Warpaint, the double feature for Disco Very and Keep It Healthy, which was directed by, and it's kind of hard to say, but Leban Faideas. How was that? That was bad.
Music video directors, for the love of God, help us out here.
Something like that.
Such complicated names. Why don't you guys just simplify? We'll help you.
seriously. Contact us. Give us more Ray K's, please. More Ray K's. That's what
more,
we need.
More Nortons. We've got Norton right, now. We cut that down. Yeah. But so this video, really what I liked about the video a lot is being quite familiar with Warpaint, and especially their new self-titled album. They kind of have like a dark and like a melancholic kind of a sound and an atmosphere to them. And at least the first part of the video for the Disco Very portion, it's not really the case with the tones of the video. So basically what it is we see the band, they're kind of like just dancing and singing along, and it's shot in slow motion, but it's done almost in like a pop music kind of way. And definitely not what you would expect. You'd figure you'd see like low lighting and you know, dark and ominous themes and stuff like that. But like, they're just having like a ton of fun, and they're like the coolest. It just looks like they're the coolest people that I would ever want to meet. And
I love them so much.
Is that
tongue in cheek? Is it tongue in cheek?
Oh no,
They're just growing it up. They're just having a good time.
What they're doing is that tongue in cheek? Yeah, yes. Maybe. I don't know. I was actually wondering that as I was watching the video, if it's intentionally meant to be kind of a non-fit for what they do, and it's meant to be almost like a parody of those types of videos, or if they just are having fun and they decided that that's what they would do. And then there's some skateboarding. The second half is just basically skateboarding, which is also really awesome. So a super long video. It's like 8 minutes long, but it's both songs that are seamlessly kind of mashed. Well, they're not mashed together, but they lead right into one another. And that one sticks with me. I really liked what they did with that video. It wasn't what I expected from Warpaint.
Did you guys watch this Hopsin video this week? I think Adam Alexander did, right?
Yes,
Adam,
I did.
Adam Fairholm, did you watch Hopsin, I Need Help?
No. Sorry.
Well, we could talk about it.
Yeah, let's do that.
You guys do your thing. I'll be here when you need me.
Okay, cool. So Adam, like this video, is one that I like grappled with on whether or not I thought it was worthy of a IMDb pick. Do you think it should be an IMDb pick? Is this going to be in your top five?
I think
five?
So. It won't make my top five. It probably won't make my top 10.
Jesus.
But it's a dope video.
I mean, it's a great video. That's the thing.
It should be staff picked. I think it should be staff picked. Because we don't, you know, they're like hip hop videos that they're cool.
You're right.
One really stands out for a hip hop video.
No, it does. You're right. I mean, I do think that like $25, the Norton video, that is it. It's a different level of or a different type of video.
It is. But this is in essence a non hip hop video too, though.
Also, I would say. Well, and Hopsin is a non hip hop artist.
Yes. Right. There's no twerking and there's no no bling, and there's no bling bling, and there's no cars that bounce and
no
stuff
bling
like
or
that.
No bling bling, which is
right. Exactly.
All right. Yeah. All right. It's done. This is every episode we staff pick one on the air.
And I mean, it's a zombie video.
It's a super dark video. No, it is. It's a super dark video, and I did enjoy it. I want to bring up though I think other than Heroes video, another really fantastic video, and I was bummed that we lost Norton early because I actually wanted to talk to Norton about this video. It's Canal by Rat King, and since Norton is he lives in LA now, but he spent many years in New York, I was curious about him. His thoughts on this video, Rat King Canal video, obviously about Canal Street in New York, directed by Eric K. Yu. This is I can't tell what things are shot on just by looking at them, but this appears to be shot on some kind of film. And
if you ask me, I would say it's shot on Instagram. That would be my technical expertise.
It looks like it's shot on Instagram because. There's a lot of camera noise there, but it's in full frame or square aspect or something like that. But it's it's definitely like a traditional like in a city video. At least that's what the rappers in the video are doing. They're just kind of rap handing it and camera mugging and doing that. But how the video is shot, it just. Canal Street, Canal Street is, and in New York City is like such a specific place, and it's just so loud and fast paced and dirty and all over the place, and that is exactly what this video is, and the fact that it at least appears to be shot on film only adds to that, and there's just a lot of camera movements. like Steadicam stuff, but like a lot of moving of the camera and whipping around and like a lot of smoke and stuff coming at the lens. And it is just like the perfect like video representation of what I remember Canal Street to be and a lot of New York in general to be. And it just...
End of, like, end of Rat perfect. King. End of and Rat King.
Yeah, right, Rat King. Yeah.
They have a raw, like, they're a really, like, a raw kind of, a, like, an old school sounding rap group, and this just fits, like, perfectly.
Yeah, it's
like,
so it's raw. Really the good. One dude's, like, missing half his teeth in the front of his face and stuff, right? Like, they're just, like, a gritty looking bunch of dudes, and this video is, like, the perfect representation of them. I really like this video. It came out really early in the week as well. I think Monday it came out. A lot of people were excited about this video, and I
Yeah, for sure. These guys are going to blow up, like, too. They're young. They're going to blow up. Yeah, like, they'll be right up there with Odd Future, probably
so,
by
too.
The year's end. They're going to be huge.
I think they seem like, because I don't know if you're very familiar with Pro Era with Joey Badass, but like when we first started running this site, like Joey Badass was just like first kind of coming out, and a lot of people were really excited about him. And I think that the excitement for Joey Badass has kind of fizzled a little bit. And I think that these guys are poised to like fill that need that people thought Joey Badass and Pro Era might be able to fill, which is that just like New York style, but like, you know, 90s intensity, 90s kind of roots, but for, you know, 2014, I think these guys, you're right, I think these guys do it. I love this video really, really hard. Cool.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of about riding the fence between different genres too. And these guys have the indie cred as well as just being like straight on hip hop act as well. So I think that's where they're kind of gonna break through, like a Danny Brown or some of those artists that are just as big with Pitchfork as they are with like actual like rap publications. I think Rat King is somewhere in there.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited about Rat King, and I'm excited about this video. What about you, Adam Fairholm? Any videos you want to talk about?
I just want to point out my favorite of the week, which was False Start by We Were Evergreen, directed by Daniel Brereton. And this, I am a sucker for these goofy videos like this, where the band are kind of... maybe awkward, I guess, is the right word. Awkward in a hipstery way. But they have are in some sort of like studio. So they have painted like a track around here in a circle with three lanes. And a lot of the video is this ridiculous shot of them jogging to the beat. And it's very difficult to describe, but it was the video that brought me a lot of joy this week. I had never heard of We Were Evergreen, and I like them a lot. So that's how you do it, right?
And you do it through music videos.
They are the band that their other video is also a staff pick for Daughters.
It was really good, that one.
Yeah, the one. I don't know, and anybody who has seen this video will instantly remember it. It's the one where it's like a scene, and anyway.
Stuff keeps happening
in a repetitive motion. If you've seen it, you'll definitely remember it. But that was my favorite of the week.
There were a lot of really good videos this week, though.
It's crazy.
It really picked up. April last year is when stuff really started picking up, when we started seeing lots of videos for pretty big acts really start coming down the pipeline, like on a consistent basis, and then really quality stuff coming out too. And I think we staff picked close to 10 videos this week. Just in 4 days already, and there's some that, you know, we staff picked that we didn't have a chance to talk about. So I will direct you to our best new music videos section on the homepage, or if you want to go directly to it, you could just go to imvdb.com/picks. You can see all of our videos that we have staff picked from this week. I'm counting 11 at this point. That's crazy.
And you're missing 11. Some.
And I'm missing some.
You are missing some.
And I'm missing some, this guy
says. I'm back in that Bangs video for Ejecta's Eleanor Lie. That one needs to be staff picked.
Dude,
that video is sick. I love it. It's the coolest thing.
No, you're right. I'm going to put it in there. All right, so 12. 12 videos so far this week that we've staff picked. Nice. And that's only in 4 days. Who knows what Friday's going to be all about. So definitely look at those. Definitely look at the music videos that have audio commentary. More of those will be coming pretty much every day. People are excited about this. We're excited about this. That means you're going to get some fresh, dope content for your face holes. Any hole in your face you want.